Mark chapter number 10. And when you find your place, please stand tonight. Give reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I'll know that you find your place. And I hope we'll not just come to hear the Word of God, but we'd heed what we hear tonight and respond correctly. The Word of God's been preached today. The problem is folks are not responding right. We're hearing but not heeding. Amen. And if there's ever time we need to hear and heed the Word of God, it's today. Chapter number 10, verse number 45, please. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more yet a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. If you will, pray with us and for us tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, dear God. Dear Lord, for safe traveling, mercy and grace. And I realize, God, we didn't get ourselves here, Lord, tonight. Lord, a part of your plan and your purpose, God. Dear Lord, you saw fit in eternity past to allow us to be in this place, God. And it didn't take you by surprise that we would assemble ourselves here tonight. And Lord, you knew who would be here and what needs to be preached. I pray tonight, God, you'd empty of myself. And dear God, fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we'd be controlled. I beg you, Lord, touch my mind. Dear God, it'd be set on things above. And Lord, I pray you'd touch my mouth and guard my lips tonight, Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that would be contrary to your word. Your will or your ways tonight, Lord. I beg you, dear God, make it plain. Help those that are here tonight. Oh, dear God, you'd come meet with us. Lord, I pray you'd touch. Dear God, bring convicting power where it's needed. I pray for comfort for those that are hurting tonight. Dear God, do what needs to be done. What no man can do, Lord. We plead tonight, Lord, that you'd walk up and down through this aisle tonight. Speak to every heart tonight, God. You know every name and every need. And Lord, I pray I'm willing. I'm available, God. Lord, have no ability of my own. But Lord, I pray you'd loose us and let us preach as a dying man. To dying people tonight. I pray for that one near his tail. They'd say yes before it's eternally too late. But oh, dear God, how the church is so cold. So calloused and so indifferent. Lord, we need revival. We need help, Lord. We've done it so long without you, dear God. Lord, I pray tonight you'd have preeminence over the service. We love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Now, when we look at this tonight, the Lord is on his final stage on his journey here. He's going to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible lets us know that he passes through this place that's called Jericho. When you study about Jericho, you find out that there's no prophet ever come out of this place. There's no real move of God. We know Zacchaeus got saved. And we know the Lord here touches called Bartimaeus and he receives his sight. And as I was pondering and asking God, what he'd have us to preach on tonight, I take it very seriously what I'm doing. I'm standing before you tonight. Ask the Holy Ghost of God to direct me to the right passage of Scripture that would be needed tonight. I believe with all of my heart this would be the perfect will of God where I'm preaching from tonight. When we think about the Passover, it's an event that's about to take place here in the Scripture. And so everybody knew about that. But there's another event that's about to take place, and only few knew what it was. How the Lord's going to the cross. And I think about this, how that the Jewish law required every male living out. within 15 miles of Jerusalem to come and attend the Passover. So there's a multitude of people coming as a crowd. But there's one person that the Lord kind of zeroes in out of all the multitudes that are shuffling their feet. There's a blind man, a blind beggar down the highway side, and he's a begging. Now, I do know this. I've got some blind friends. I had a blind lady that was a member of our church for some years, and they have to be kind of whole lot and real sensitive with the hearing. I could be almost anywhere in the hospital, and she would know I was in the hospital when I would speak in the hospital. And so Bartimaeus is on the highway side and is a begging. And somebody has got word to Bartimaeus. Somebody's talked to him about Jesus and let him know what he could do. Amen. When's the last time you told somebody what the Lord's done for you? Somebody's told Bartimaeus, and all of a sudden in the crowd, he knows the multitude's coming and why they're there, but he heard somebody mention the name of Jesus. And the Bible lets us know that he cries out. Now, I think about this blind man. All he's known all of his life is darkness. He's never saw his daddy. He's never saw his mother. He's never saw any of his family. He's a blind man, and he lives in darkness. Total darkness. And it speaks of the condemnation of all men that are lost without God in darkness. Now here's a man could not provide a living for himself. And I thought about this. How many times do we ask foolish questions? Have you ever seen somebody have a cast on their arm and somebody walk up and ask the did you hurt your arm? I mean, have you seen some at the airport? They've got their bags packed and you say, are you going to take a trip? And you think about, you see somebody, you ask them, where did they come from? They say, I've just been to a funeral. And they call the man's name that's been buried, and we ask him if he's dead. I mean, you know, the foolish questions. And without you think that I'm being irreverent, it seems like that the Lord is asking a foolish question. Here's a blind man. He's a beggar. He's sitting on the highway side and he's begging. The Lord comes to him and he asks him a question, and he talks to Bartimaeus and he says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now I want to say this. Bartimaeus is blind. He's confined to a life of poverty and despair. And here it is. He's on the side of the road and suddenly he hears about the Lord. Now the Lord asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? I want to preach on that a little while tonight. What is it that you really want God to do for you? I'm talking about tonight and this week. What is it that you really need God to do for you? Now listen, we're here tonight for help. Amen. One thing I do know. I know there's some people under this tabernacle that's got hurt in their heart. They've got trouble on their mind. There's some people here tonight I no doubt needs help. Now let me remind you, the Lord never asked foolish questions. Even though they may seem foolish to us at times, he never asks a foolish question. And he never asks a question to gain information, because he already knows. And he already knows the answer before you answer. Amen. And so the Lord is not here to mock us. He's not here to humiliate us. He's not here to taunt us. He's asking us a question tonight. There may be somebody in this tabernacle. You've got a heartache. You've got a real problem, and maybe nobody else knows about it but you. But you've got a problem tonight, and he's brought us together tonight not that we would minister to him. He's the one come to minister. We met to worship him. I'm afraid we know very little about worshiping God anymore. Now think about old time camp meeting. Now I'm telling you what, when these camp meetings got started, there was some people, thank God, had the power of God on them. They didn't settle for the smoke. They had the fire of God falling, amen, in the meeting. And lives were being changed. That's what I'm interested in tonight. I'm not here to make a name. I'm not here to be seen. I want the Lord to be seen. I want God to show up and come come down through the aisles in every pew seat tonight and say, what do you want me to do for you? What would be your answer right now as the Holy Ghost of God would say, what do you really need this week? What do you want me to do for you? Now listen, here's a man that's desperate. And I'm afraid, listen, we're not going to see a whole lot go on, whether it's at the High Point Camp Meeting, or at your church, wherever you belong. I didn't come to be mean. I come to try to be a help. But I wonder how desperate we really are for God to really show up and do a work in our hearts and our lives. We put up the smoke screen so long, how folks think one thing about us, and the truth of the matter is some of you on the inside, you're tore all to pieces. Some of you come this week probably about to throw in the towel, but you sing in the choir, you play the part, how you go through the routine. There's preachers all over this land that's about to lose their mind. Their ministry's in a mess, and now they're at a place of desperation. I wonder how desperate we are tonight. What is your need tonight? What is it that you need God to do for you tonight? Here's a man that's desperate. Do we really believe that God can still do the miraculous? Do we really believe that God can still come down and bring Holy Ghost revival from heaven? Do we believe that God can still save the drunkard, the harlot? I mean, are you listening to me tonight? How desperate are we for God to do something? Now think about this. If we made up our minds that we're just going to have 5 nights of meeting, see how well we can sing and how good an outline we can alliterate, how well we can speak and say, bless God, we've had 5 nights camp meeting and go to the house. If I thought that's what we're here for, I would say let's pray right now and let's just go into the house and go to bed. I didn't come to do that, amen. I'm tired of just putting a sign up and calling a meeting and putting a date. Why don't we let God determine the date when it's going to wind up? Amen, I'm telling you one thing. If there's ever time we need to get desperate and cry out to God, when's the last time you got desperate that you cried out to God and you couldn't keep your peace? When's the last time, grandmother, that you prayed for those grandchildren going to hell? When's the last time you couldn't sleep and you cried out to God for your youngins? How desperate are we? How desperate are we? God is asking a probing question here. He's asking, but he already knows the answer. He knows your greatest need tonight. He already knows what it is. And he wants us tonight to answer. We're so afraid of exposing ourselves. We're so afraid for somebody to see our frailties. Let me tell you something. They've already sung it. You're nothing but a sinner saved by grace, my friend. And we all have problems. We all have battles. It's not a playground. Now here's the question could be. It's not a question, do you need help? But do you really want help? You know, the Lord didn't force me to get saved. That crowd teach you, is this for grace or wrong? You got a free will. You got a choice to make. You decided whether you'd go to heaven or not, my friend. And it ain't just about going to heaven. If God just saved us to go to heaven, the day we got saved, he'd have took us on. Amen. Amen. And so listen, we're saved by the grace of God and kept by the power of God. I didn't save myself. I can't keep myself. But listen, even in the midst of all this, we're not in a playground on the battleground. The devil's real tonight. He's not in the helping business. He's in the hurting business. He's not in the delivery business. He's in the destroying business. He's not in the lifting up business. He's in the knocking down business. And we've got a whole lot of discouraged and defeated and doubtful people today. How desperate are you tonight for help? He's asking a probing question. Well, I'd say, do you want help? If I'd say, raise your hand tonight, and some of you in your mind would say, well, I suppose I do. No, do we really want help? Are we desperate enough that we'll cry to God persistently? Everywhere I go, here's what people are telling me. Oh, preacher, we want to see revival. If everybody that's telling me that they're really praying for revival and really wanted revival, we'd already have revival. There's a whole lot of folks, they say one thing, but God knows what they really mean. And God already knows the need, but He wants somebody to be persistent in the crying. In the sovereignty of God, He saw fit. He said, you have not because you ask not. Now listen, here's a man that's got a need. And when he finds out the Lord's passing by, it didn't bother him what the public said. He cried out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We all need the mercy of God tonight. How desperate are we for God to move? Now think about this tonight. We said we're praying for God to show up. A lot of people enjoy being spiritually weak. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to help us. We've got the most ignorant crowd in our Baptist churches today than we've ever had. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm telling you it's time to cut the TV off. It's time to cut the internet off. It's time to turn the radio off and get our face back in the book. Amen. Everybody's on Facebook and trying to find out every stinking garbage of gossip and all that stuff they can find out and fill their mind up with that and come to a camp meeting, my friend, have all that garbage in their mind when we ought to be filling up the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God that God could control our mind. Everybody's looking garbage to put in their mind. Thank God, I'm glad when He saved me. Thank God, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not the perfect will of God. It's not acceptable to God that we walk around and use our ears and our eyes as a garbage can. How desperate are we for God to do a work in our mind? How renew our minds and touch our hearts tonight. How desperate are we? How desperate are we? Now think about this. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself tonight. I'm going to preach. I'm going to go back, lay down a little while at the motel. And I'm not going to worry one bit about what I'm preaching tonight. Because this is what God told me to preach before I got here. Thank God, as long as I'm pleasing Him, that's all that matters. But I want to ask you something tonight. You listen to me. God looks through all of them. Our suits you got on, the dresses you got on, and through you toting that Bible on your side. He looks through all that. And He knows what you really need tonight. Now I wonder how many to be honest tonight that you really have put 100% on the altar and yielded your heart to God, your body, soul, and mind. And you said, here I am, dear God. I'm desperate, dear God, for you to take control of my life and use me and make me what you'd have me to be. I'm telling you one thing. I thought about it. I was only a 3-year-old boy when they started this meeting. I wasn't even raised at a church. I was looking at it when they sent me the 45 years. How many people in here are 45 years and under? Please stand up real quick. 45 and under. It's blessed my heart when I looked around tonight. It won't like this a few years ago. And I'm not being mean. You listen to me. It's a crowd that came. They sweat. They poured their life. They took a stand that you'd be here tonight, that they'd have a place that you could assemble ourselves together. Now, I'm telling you what I'm praying. It's that the Holy Ghost of God, let us get a little touch of what that got in on, that would cause them to build a place like this and meet around the things of God. Let me tell you some folks tonight, most of these young people, they really don't know what old time camp meeting is anymore. They really don't know what a heaven sent revival is. We've worked it up in the music. We know how to pull them down the altar and get a prayer out of them. But I'm going to tell you what they need. It's a good dose of the Holy Spirit of God. The kind that will take control of their lives. And they'll forget all about public opinion. You young girls, while you're young, how desperate are you to see 45 years from now, if we're still around, that you'd want your youngins in? Grand youngest to be able to come back to a place like this. It's enough of you standing now that could turn this part of the world upside down if you just get desperate and start crying out. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. That I could go tell somebody else how what Jesus done for me. I thank you. You can be seated tonight. We ought to stop, take recess, and shout thank God that all of them ain't at the crack house. All of them ain't drunk out of their mind tonight. You young people, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to worship Him tonight and thank God that He got a hold of you before the devil destroyed your life. How desperate are we? There's a probing question. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? It's not just a question to mock him and humiliate a blind man on the side of the road. It's a probing question. That's a promising question. He's asking because he really wants to do something. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what, God wants to revive you more than you want to be revived. God wants to save you tonight if you're lost without God. But how desperate are you tonight for God to do a work in your life? We have not because we ask not. The Lord, thank God, left more people on this earth sick than He healed. Why, my friend? It's because of this. They did not admit their need. I wonder tonight, what is it that you would want the Lord to do for you? How desperate are you? I was in a service not long ago, and this lady come forward, and you don't see this much anymore, but we were there at about 3 o'clock, dealing with this lady about salvation. They come down the aisle now and pop bubble gum, repeat a prayer, and go on back out the door. I got problems with that. I don't know about you, but the night Holy Ghost conviction set in on me, when God proved me guilty of being a sinner, it tore my nerves up. But I realized I was in a desperate situation and I needed help. There was nobody in that building that showed up but one that could help me. That's the one that sat down beside of me and proved me guilty. The preacher couldn't save me, mama couldn't save me, and daddy couldn't save me. But the Holy Ghost of God that brought conviction to me, it tore my nerves up. And before I know it, my will met the will of God. I moved inside of Him and He moved inside of me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I got desperate, my friend. And we'll never have old time camp meeting and revival meeting until somebody gets a hold of this desperate thing that we need God. Amen. The courts are winning them by the thousands. They're building buildings all over the world. Our movement are dying out fast, my friend, all over this land. You know why? Nobody's desperate in crying out to God. If I'd say how much time did you spend today praying? Calling somebody's name out. See, I remember years ago when them old folks just believed God. They'd have somebody slam across the other side of the world. They knew this law was going to hell. They'd start crying out to God, save them here this week in this meeting. You know, that'd be an impossibility. But it wasn't impossible for God. And I've seen in meetings that them folks that they called out by name all week, it come down to the end of the night, that the Lord would give them assurance and somehow God would get them across the water, across the mountain, across the river, and get them to the place where they prayed them to be. And the Holy Ghost of God had already been doing a work on the other end. And they got saved. You know why? There was a mama desperate for a son. There was a grandma desperate for children. I'm telling you, we're so occupied and we've got so much desperation toward our worldliness and carnality instead of spirituality. We need a move of God, church. How desperate are we? It's a promising question. He's not asking him just to mock him. He really wants to help. Notice verse number 47, please. And when he heard that it was Jesus, amen, thank God, that name that's above every name. Amen, when he heard that it was Jesus, notice what he said of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Here's the man that's desperate, but he's also determined. Now listen, what do you want me to do for you? The next thing is,
How badly do you want it, my friend? Here's a man that's desperate, but he's also determined. Now, I'll tell you what the world will try to do. They'll try to put the fire out before you ever get it going, my friend. I thought when I got saved, everybody'd be happy. Everybody would jump for joy. But I found out, my friend, this world ain't friendly to Christianity. It's not friendly to God. It's not friendly to the Bible. Not many friendly to church anymore. I thought when God called me to preach, and I surrendered my life, I thought everybody be happy. Most of my family even turned their back on me. They said, boy's got a good dose of religion and he'll get over it. He must be sick. He must have found out he had a terminal illness. That's been 40 years ago. I'm still determined to keep on serving God for the glory of God. I saw my mama get saved. I saw my daddy get saved. You know why? If nobody else was going to stand between him and hell, I was determined to stand between hell and my mom and my daddy. I'm talking about being determined. How badly do you want it tonight? You know what you need. He knows what you need. What is it? How badly do you want it tonight? Look at verse number 48. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. We've been quiet too long. It's a shame. It's a shame that this great country, this great nation, the United States of America, let one little hussy stop us from being at praying school. We preached it in our little boxes where we meet in, but it ain't many got on the street and told the sodomite he was going to hell. It's quiet. I'm just trying to help us tonight. How determined are we to get the message out that Jesus could be passing by today? You understand, Barnabas, he would have never had another opportunity. It was the last time that he'd pass by that way. It was the last time for Barnabas. It was the last time for Zacchaeus up the tree, my friend. And some of you tonight, the devil might have you up a tree, and it might be the last time that the Lord passes by your way. The Bible does say that he gives some over to a reprobate mind. I don't know who they are and where they are, but when they cross over, you mark her down. I don't care how long you preach, how long you pray, they'll die in their sin and go to hell. How determined are we? How determined are we going to just let this world shut us up? Are we going to be like Barnabas, ignore public opinion? I'm going to preach whether they throw me in jail or not. Amen. It's God's called me to preach the whole counsel of God. Adultery is still wrong. Fornication is still wrong. Shacking up and all that stuff today. Drinking liquor, smoking dope. All of it's still wrong. And what a cry aloud and spare not, my friend. I'm telling you, I'll be determined to love on sinners and tell them the truth. Amen. It's a promising question. How badly do you want it? Notice verse 50. And he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what's hurting most people. They got some personal obstacle that's keeping them from getting what they really need. They've got a little something. It really don't amount to nothing. And they'll keep that in front of them, reminding God. Now, I'm just going to preach for a minute. You listen to me. Before I'd get out of the will of God, before I'd take my family out of the will of God to have the luxury of this world, I'd put me a pop-up tent somewhere and stay in the will of God and serve God. God's always took care of his youngins, and he always will. We're living another day today, but everybody wants entertainment today. I mean, what do you have for the young people? I finally start telling them, I've got the same thing that I have for the senior saints. Amen. Ask God, we'll preach the King James Bible. I try to preach the devil out of them and try to keep them out of hell. If you got anything better than that, lay it on the table. You don't have nothing better than that. And listen, there's some denominations tonight are trying to change our mind about the old time way. They're trying to substitute everything they can and get preaching out of the house of God. Now you offer Junior choice how where he wants to go on Wednesday night, if he's going to sit around and eat pizza and watch Bozo the Clown, or let a man of God get up and preach him into hell and tell him he needs a Savior. You mark her down, little Junior. I choose Bozo and pizza every time. But it's not Junior's choice where he goes to church. That's mom and daddy's determination how to get them on the gospel. Amen. Is that right or not? Now you listen to me. I've learned this. When the Lord desires to do something, it involves an act of obedience. Now, the night I got saved, I had to be obedient to the call of God. And whatever your need is tonight, it calls for an act of obedience from you tonight. Now, you hear me well. Usually, there's an obstacle that's slowing us down. Oh, Lord God. Young folks today know very little about obedience. That's one of the characteristics of the last days, is rebellion. Huh? Not obeying the parents, not honoring the father and the mother. We're in those days. Is that right or not? Now, I'm telling you why a lot of people are ashamed to take the children to church. They don't make them mind at the house, and they know it embarrass them if they take them to the church house. And so that little old boy, when he's young, if they happen to bypass church one time, and he's doing what he always does at home and at grandma's house, at the grocery store, at Walmart, and wherever he goes. So, and then all of a sudden you take him to a place that's got a steeple on it, and a man of God's got a Bible and preaching, and he gets whipped on and pinched on the whole service. Huh? Boy, ain't that something? But they won't correct him at the house. So they don't know anything about correction. I'm just talking about keeping the youngins out of hell. Being determined, amen, to train our children in the way the Lord would have them to go. Now listen to me. He is a rewarder, the Bible said, of those that diligently seek Him. Now the Lord, whatever it takes this week, I want to meet with You, Lord. I want to meet with God this week. I'm telling you, listen, I didn't come to just get stirred up. I want God to do eternal work in my life. I've never been in. Brother Jack, you preached a whole lot more meetings probably than I've ever preached. I mean, you preached a lot all up and down the road. I don't know how many revivals. Can you hold up your hand if you've ever been in real revival? How many in your life, Brother Jack? How many real revivals would you say? One or two, three? Yes, sir. On one hand. On one hand, I'm not a real old man, but I tell you what, I got in on one in my life. And I'm going to tell you something, every time I load up and I get in that truck and ride down the road, I said, oh dear God, could this be it? Could this be the place? I'm going to tell you what, if you ever have God to show up and start moving, I'll never forget as long as I live in the mountains of North Carolina, I went to a church there. I mean, I didn't know how big of a mess it was, but God knew. But they broke, came in, they started repenting of the sin. They got desperate for God to do a work. They got determined. I'll never forget as long as I live. I saw little children, small babies. I'm not talking about charismatic stuff. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost power of God. That's showing up, the little old babies wept away to God. And grandmas and grandpas, I fell on their face in the carpet, and folks testified that had never opened their mouth before. And listen, folks were getting saved, and it went on night after night after night, and folks were getting saved. I'm hungry for that. I'm desperate for it. I'm determined. I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep believing. And you know what? In the midst of the crowd, somebody will scream out, it's Him. Amen. Now I know where two or three gather in His name, He's in the midst. I'm talking about the manifested power of God. The kind that will come and finger around in your heart and finger around in this man's heart and move through the service. Thank God that we could get in one accord, that the power of God could rest down around Jamestown, High Point, North Carolina, and that we'll see an old-time revival take place. Hey, how desperate are you? How determined are you? And listen, if you got what you're asking for, what would you do with it? What would you do with it? Look in verse number 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. He's not a machine. He didn't make Him a machine. Since I've been saved, I can go where I want to go. And I do. Huh? Listen, I was a backwoods country boy. First time I ever heard the gospel preached, it was in a cottage prayer meeting. My great-granddaddy was in his 90s. I didn't go to church. All I knew was fussing, fighting, raising hell. Folks getting beat up every weekend, just carrying on. I mean, hard-working people, but there's a few in the neighborhood that's drunk. It was going to be on every weekend you do it. Somebody's face going to get busted. The vehicle's going to be a wreck. Something was going to take place. You didn't have to have a TV back then. All you had to do is sit on your porch and wait for the action to break out. I'm just saying like it is. But my great-granddaddy got saved in his 90s. You talking about the grace and the mercy of God in his 90s. And it started bringing a little salt off Indian man in there on a station wagon full of with his daughters that sing like angels, bless God, and he'd preach like hell was hot and heaven was beautiful, and didn't come to get paid, my friend. He came because he's determined how to see some lost people get saved by the grace of God. I'll never forget looking through that rusty screen wire. That old man was in there just preaching and a sweating and a slobbering and telling people to repent of the sin. You must be born again. I got introduced to the gospel in a college prayer meeting, my friend. And listen, I got on old church bus. I'm a church bus kid, amen. And went to the house of God. And I thought all of them was crazy, need to be locked up. How the song leader sung like he liked what he was doing. How granny brought a handkerchief and shouted amen. They'd already met with God all week. And they showed up the house of God to worship. And you didn't go in and hear grandpa. I told about the race or the ball game. They're talking about what they're learning the word of God that week. And bless God, I got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Nobody had to send out a party to get me to church. Amen. I've never had candy brought to me. A flyer was sent to me. No, I've been determined, thank God, how to serve the Lord to the best of my ability. Amen. How determined are you? And if you got what you was asking and wanting and needing tonight, what would you do with it? I'll tell you what Bartimaeus did. He followed the Lord. Somebody do all he's done for me. Amen. Ain't no time me to quit on him. Amen. Now notice something real quick. I've got to go. Watch this now. People make a lot of promises when they need money. I've been at it a while. They'll come in, spit out a few tears, get them an offering, go on down the road. I'm not being mean. Folks have marital problems. They'll come to church a few times. Some of you in here tonight need to be on this altar probably about your marriage. I'm telling you, I've never seen a time when men love other women more than they love their wives. And it's even in the pulpit today. That's got you to love your wife as Christ loved the church, amen. And you ought to be determined to do that, amen. And the wives ought to submit themselves under the authority of God, amen, and do what God's called to do. I'm just determined to believe the word of God and do what God said. I think children still ought to obey the parents, amen, in the Lord, for this is right. And we ought to be determined, amen, to live by that. And I believe this tonight. The reason God withholds certain things from us is he knows what we'll do with it. Huh? You know what? We made it about the marquee too much. That's why we applaud men today. It used to be you didn't see the man. Old preacher'd come in and preach, and they'd leave away and say, boy, I'm glad God showed up. The singer would come in and sing. They wouldn't see the singer. Oh, they'd see pastor singing who they were singing about. Oh, we've got the notes. We know how to hold it. We know how to do all that. But I'm telling you the ingredient we're missing. We're missing the power of God, my friend. We're missing the power of God on our singing. We're missing the power of God on our preaching. Now, I'm telling you something. I'm determined, my friend, not to mount any pulpit out of the will of God. I'd rather sit on the pew tonight and pray and go to the house than to get up and try to do what I'm doing without the touch of God. I want God to touch me, amen. I'm determined, amen, to mind the Holy Spirit of God and preach the whole counsel of God. Notice this. People make a lot of promises when they're in the hospital. I've had them say, preacher, you pray if I get out of here, I'll come to church. I ain't seen them. Some of them died and went on to hell. They never did come. I'm just telling like it is. So listen, the Lord cut him loose and he gave him an option. Now I wonder tonight, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. How many here tonight would be honest? I'm not talking about raising your hand, but I'm talking about listening to me right now. I'll be honest with you. I prayed. I really, you may not believe so, but I prayed. I asked God, Lord, what would you have me to preach? I mean that with all my, but how many here tonight really, you come to this meeting tonight, your heart is broken. You're brokenhearted. And listen, you're at the point of despair and you said, if God don't do something for me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm done for. Your marriage may be about to break up. Some of you know your ministry is not what it ought to be. And you need God tonight. How desperate and determined are you? Now here it is. He knew all about Jericho. We know all about the plagues of sin today. It's in your face. It's in your face. Wherever you go. And it is pleasure in sin. If it won't, everybody wouldn't be doing it. But here's the problem. It's just for a season. I've been preaching a series in our church on Sunday night on the family, on the home. Our churches have been no stronger than the homes are. And you hear me? As a young believer, when I got saved, when I was a teenage boy, I'll never forget sitting down with a man sitting on a little hearth working in a house one day. And he was dying. He was dying of cancer, cirrhosis of the liver. And I talked to the little man. He said he had trusted Christ as a Savior. And I'll never forget him as long as I live. I sat there talking to this old man. He'd wind up being a wino and smoked cigarettes all of his life. And listen, and I sit there and he'd see... told me about getting saved, and he was dying, and tears was dripping from his eyes. And I looked at that old man, and I asked him, I said, "Sir, I said, if you had the opportunity before you died right now to speak to all of the young people across this land, what would you say to them?" And he wept for a while, and he shook, and he stopped and got his composure, and he said, "I tell you what I'd tell them. I regret putting the first cigarette to my mouth." He said, "I didn't know that I'd smoke them the rest of my life and die of cancer." He said, "I would tell them I'd never put one drop of alcohol to my lips." And he said, "I'm dying. I've been a wino all of my life. All I've known is vomiting and laying on the railroad tracks with a bunch of drunks, waking them the next day beat up, not knowing how you got there and what happened." And he wept. And that was some mother's little boy. Had brought him home one day and had high hopes. And he told me back when he was a little boy, his mama took him to church. But you know what happened? He missed out on getting born again. Now I'm telling you one thing. You listen to me tonight, young folks. You better be desperate for God tonight. You better be determined that you won't live and ruin and waste, wreck your life. They're doing everything they can to get crack cocaine in you. They're doing everything they can to get a pill in you, get you a bottle to suck out the bottom. And they're telling you that's where you'll find satisfaction and happiness. Hey, listen to me. He shows one side of the billboard. And they're determined to have a party tonight. And they drank it up. And they're out of their mind by morning. And listen, some of them are dying in a car wreck tonight. And wake up in hell, my friend. We need to understand that tonight. We need God to move. We've got a generation that knows not God. Amen. They can drink beer on Friday night and walk in the choir on Sunday morning and not bothered by it, my friend. They can smoke dope and come to church and sing a special and it don't bother them. When a day that preachers can commit adultery and still get in the pulpit and play the part. Oh, God, help us to be broken tonight. Oh, God, I beg you tonight, Lord. Oh, God, I'm desperate, Lord. We're determined, Lord. I don't want to just come and waste a week and just come and hear the choir sing and go through the motion. Oh, God, I trust some little old boy, some little old girl, some grandma, granddaddy. I get a hold of what God's trying to say tonight. How desperate are we for God? I look at a man's condition here. He needs a miracle. Some of you tonight, you need a miracle. And God's still in the miracle working business. I see his cry. He's determined. And he's so determined that he makes a disturbance. I'm going to tell you why we not see much of God moving. We're afraid of disturbing folks. We do not get saved till you get disturbed. We're not going to have much revival until we get disturbed about what's going on in our land. And not just in our land, not just in the White House, not just in our house, but even in the church house. Huh? What's your cry tonight? If the Lord would walk by you tonight and he'd stop where you're at tonight and he would say, "What would you want me to do for you? What do you really want me to do for you? And how desperate do you really want it? And how determined are you to get it this week? How desperate are you? How determined are you? Are you determined enough that you'll make a disturbance? That you'll cry out to God persistently until you get a hold of God You're so broken hearted. Notice what he says. I'm about to die. Watch this. He said, He calleth thee. He calleth thee. He makes the call important, my friend. He calleth means that it's to be done immediate. And thee, that makes an individual. The challenge is personal to a man by the name of Bartimaeus. It's precise. What do you want from me tonight? What do you want this week? There's a purpose behind it. God really wants to do something for us. Let me tell you what God will do. He'll do it instantly. How eager are you for God to do something for you tonight? What is your need? Is it anybody in here that doesn't have a need? We're all needy people. And what is it tonight that you need God to do for you? What will you do with it when you get it? Huh? I beg you tonight. The Lord says, what do you really want from me? Do you want me to stay outside this week and let you come in, let you go through and you direct everything and you have your singing and you applaud yourself? And you said, boy, we've been to church tonight, Lord, and we hope it don't last too long because we want to see our program and we're concerned about what's at work tomorrow instead of saying, here I am in the crowd and Jesus is passing by. And he speaks to me personally. What do you really want from me? Do we want anything? Or do we want him to just leave us alone and let us keep doing what we're doing? Huh? Listen to me. I didn't get myself here. The Lord worked it out and got me to this pulpit tonight. And I prayed all week. I prayed all day today. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it? There's so many things I could have preached from this book tonight. There's so much in here. But if I'd have preached any other message tonight, I'd have missed the will of God. I can walk away from here with confidence about that tonight. Not in me, but in Him. Let me say something to you tonight. We notice this course. Listen, here's a man that's never seen the world. He's never seen mom. He's never seen dad. He's never seen his family. He's been blind. He's been a beggar all of his life. He sat by, but somebody told him about Jesus and what he could do. And when he found out he was on the premises, he didn't care what anybody thought about him. He cried out. They tried to shut him up. And he cried out to more, Thou Son of David, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Are you willing to come tonight and say, Lord, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I've got a need. Dear God, this is what I need. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Pianist come tonight, playing on the piano. And I don't think we ought to have to beat around on the piano half of the night. I don't think I ought to have to stand here. You've heard what God put on my heart. It's not my message. It's God's message. And listen, I've done my best to pray and seek God's face. I've done my best to pray and ask God, Lord, what would you have me say at this meeting, Lord? I don't want to go there, dear God, and just get up there and say something to make me look good or sound good. I want to go and preach your message tonight. And listen, hey, God spoke to our hearts. Is there anybody in this place desperate for God to do a mighty work? Are we determined enough that we're willing to make a disturbance this week?